Hello, this message is brought to you by the friends and partners of Elijah Muslim Ministry International. Be blessed as you listen.
Hebrews 3 and verse 17, I'm going to continue where we stopped off last week. Hebrews 3 and verse 17, this is the part 3 of the teaching series for the month of July that we've captioned Rest. Hebrews 3 and verse 17. It says, but with whom was it grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned? Whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? Now he's talking about the Israelites. They sinned. And what was the sin he was going to tell you in verse 18? He goes on, he says, and to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not. So they sinned, and that sin hindered them from entering into God's rest. Because they believed not. Then verse 19 emphasized the same thing. He says, so we see that they could not enter into God's rest. Why? Because of unbelief. Then let's go next. Then chapter 4 verse 1 says, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. He now says, for unto us was the gospel. Now, so the writer of the book of Hebrews has a target audience, which were the Jews. So he says, for unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Now, the specific sin that is being captured in this passage is about when Caleb and Joshua were out of the 12 tribes that the 12 spies, beg your pardon, that was sent to spy the land that God has given the Israelites through their great-grandpapa Abraham. So they go in there to spy the land, and 10 people came back with bad reports. The Bible calls it evil reports. Why? Because it ministered doubt. It ministered unbelief to the people. Great fear came upon them. The Bible says, you know, and Caleb steal them at once and said, we can all go at once. But guess what? The good news that the two other people brought didn't do them no good because there was not faith in their heart to receive it. Praise God forevermore. They didn't mix it with faith. So this is an analogical teaching, all right, about salvation. How that entering into God's rest does not come, all right, by labor in ceremonial laws and the Mosaic laws that were laid out in the Old Testament. Because, you see, he uses that to teach on how that salvation comes, all right, by believing. So those who believe, therefore, enters into his rest. Go to verse 3. He now tells us in verse 3, it says, for we which have believed, can you see that? Do enter into his rest. So that means believing in the good news brought to us makes us qualified to enter into his rest. Hallelujah forevermore. I said hallelujah forevermore. So you see, rest. And when we teach on rest, I've told you that, you see, the word of God in its entirety has a pointer to Christ. And Christ is the wisdom and the power of God. You see, so in the wisdom of God, there is wisdom in the wisdom of God. Like Pastor Sandra gave you an example last week, very good example. For example, I was sharing with someone yesterday, and I said, did it ever occur to you to realize that God is all powerful? In fact, so powerful that the whole world, he made it in 6 days. None is as powerful as God, yet God doesn't always flex his power. He uses wisdom. For instance, the book of Isaiah 11 verse 2 down to verse 4 tells us the 7 attributes that, you know, describes the expression of God's personality. And out of those 7 things that describes the charismatic expression of God, He gives us 5 to be cognitive and 2 to be power. He says, and the Spirit of the Lord, that is one. The Spirit of the Lord is the spirit of lordship, spirit of dominion that take charge of things. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, 1. The Spirit of wisdom, 2. Understanding, 3. Counsel, 4. Might, 5. Knowledge, 6. Fear of the Lord. So this 7 Spirit of God that we know of, you see it in Zechariah as well. You see it in Revelation as well. It's what Apostle Paul called the fullness of God in Ephesians 3. Yet, the Spirit of the Lord and the spirit of might are the only 2 expressions of power. The rest 5 were cognitive. So you see God, for instance, Jesus was born. Pharaoh ordered that 2-year-old children downward should be killed, executed. And God, in a dream, shows Joseph to flee to the place that an Israelite will never go to, Egypt. God has the power to kill all of them if he wanted to. But you see, he doesn't flex his power. I give you another example. God tells Samuel, he says, go and appoint me a king because Saul has stopped following God. In the last 40 years of his reign, he only followed God for 2 years out of 40. So go appoint me a new king for my people. And that will be treason and felony. So Samuel says, God, Saul's going to kill me. God didn't say, go. I'll kill him if he tries it. No. God told Samuel, he says, go. If when you meet him, tell him you came to worship. Well, worship is one of the spiritual rites that must be carried out before there will be a coronation. In other words, God was telling him, don't tell him the other part of the coronation. Simply tell him you came to worship. So there are times where God chose to conceal certain information, not necessarily because any evil will happen to him if he tells everybody, but because the wisdom of God, all right, is still God in expression. Are you following what I'm saying? So there is wisdom in the wisdom of God. So when we teach the context of what is being taught here, all right, the writer of the book of Hebrews was talking about salvation, that they which have believed, which have believed have entered into rest. It doesn't stop, you know, the Christianity that is preached, the theology of preachers will make you assume, all right, that all that you learn in church is soteriology, is not correct. You see, I understand that the focus of Scripture is salvation. We've done a teaching, Faith Book of Records, right? And we made you realize that God's yardstick for measuring greatness is the degree in which, all right, we are conformed to His salvation plan. Never forget that. That is the major. But that will make you heavenly, conscious, wonderful, spiritually conscious of your blessing and yet earthly irrelevant. So you have to understand, for example, how to use faith, for instance, through the teaching of God's word to effect a desired change. Can you see that? In this world. So, for example, when we say that we have entered into his rest. So now, how does that affect your day-to-day activity? If we tell you that you believing in Christ, you have entered into his rest. So there must be a pragmatic teaching that helps you receive that filtered into other crevices of your life. Otherwise, you will just be enduring life until Jesus comes instead of enjoying it through. So what is the application? All right, we tell you, you have believed in Christ, right? You have entered into his rest. So how does that affect how that you are expecting finances to meet certain needs? You see, any theology that does not affect your practical life is not a correct theology. It's simply an academic theology. Such person should go to seminary and teach. In church is not a seminary. We teach you practical truths of God's word. Very doctrinal, very salvific, yet charismatic, life-changing, pragmatic, and practical. Hallelujah forevermore. Hallelujah forevermore. So, for example, when we talk about studying the word of God, like I've told you several times, that you're going to see certain teachings in symbolisms. Let me give you an instance. Open to the book of Exodus 14. You're going to see these teachings on being living a life of rest. We're looking at rest. Exodus 14 and verse 13. You all know the story. The armies of Pharaoh were charging towards Israelites to recapture them into captivity. And you know, Moses was only instructed of the Lord by one of the prophets who prophesied, saying, look at it. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not and stand still. Now, that means rest. Hey, listen, you have to understand, this is a practical example of teaching on rest. Are you following what I'm saying? Are you learning something at our church? This is a practical teaching here. That they, I mean, the sea was before them. Pharaoh's army were behind them, charging behind them to come and recapture them back into captivity. No road in the front, no road at the back. Now, how do you tell someone at that moment and said, oh, you have believed in Christ? Rest, rest. You say, okay, I have believe Jesus is Lord, but how do I get out of this trouble? That's the problem with a lot of people in the quote unquote Christocentric circles. You see believers who believe in salvation, they can do exegesis, do all this, but they are under demonic oppression. They can't foot their bills. They are on social media fighting against tithes. But if they want to do a convention, they'll go and borrow Redemption Camp, where Baba Adeboye is collecting tithes to build. Do you get what I'm saying? You know, their theology is so stupid. It's not practical. It's so academic. They say, no, don't tell us that we should be praying so time. We pray when we are led. Don't tell me that this is the time we should meet in church. God lives in me. I am church. So you find those kind of people, they are not trying to... See, their problem is they are lawless. See, grace is not lawlessness. There's one between grace and lawlessness. They are not one and the same. Praise God forevermore. I said, praise God forevermore. How many of you saw my proper exegesis on tithe on Facebook? I had over 50 shares. And the owner of a major blog on the internet copied it and posted it on his own page. A blog that was having almost 1 million followers. You see, you have to understand that, and that's why it's important you must belong to a local assembly like this, where we teach you God's word and how to apply this thing to your practical life, so that you won't be up there in your academic theology that you cannot apply in your personal daily life. Even Apostle Paul, in all his spiritualness, tells us in 1 Corinthians 14, go and read that chapter. He says, if you come to church, as powerful as speaking in tongues, passing the message in tongues is, he says, if you cannot interpret it for others to learn, keep quiet. What does that tell you? That tells you that no matter the height of your spirituality, if it does not filter into practical, personal use, it is useless. You didn't get it. That if you say, okay, we are doing 20 hours tongues, and you pray. You pray in tongues 20 hours, all right? And when you are done 20 hours, you didn't get any instruction. No point of action. It's useless. You didn't go for evangelism to, okay, you say generate power. Who have you healed? Who have you gone to preach to? You didn't get the point I'm making. What insight? What did God tell you? What did you pen down? What did you write? What's your journal? What are you holding on to? What's your anchor? Because at the end of the day, every theology is to end up in faith. Every theology, every teaching must to inspire faith for you to trust God the more. Are you following what I'm saying here? This is so important. So now they are faced with a real life situation here. That's why I don't drag with all those folks who make noise on social media. Many of them are in university. Let them graduate first. When they don't get no money, you see, some of them, they are on free mode. Let them finish university, don't get any money from home. Let them face real life. Yes, so we're talking about practical life here. They are faced with Red Sea. You need some power here. You say you don't believe in demons, you don't believe, fine, good, but you are working in an office and they are promoting everybody every year, they did not promote you. And you are saying, I am saved in Christ. Okay, yes, we know. Okay, use the power, use it. All right, all this, somebody is doing a series on, he called it 30 Days of Glory. No headache was healed. And you are telling me, how do you want to explain to me? You are doing a teaching series, you call it 30 Days of Glory. You call it soteriology. You are teaching 30 Days of Glory, and nobody in 30 Days of Glory saw the glory of God in their headache. And you are beginning to do exegesis on glory is cardboard, Look, this is not seminary. This is church. We meet needs with the power of God. And don't try to tell me, all those doesn't matter. It's heaven. Look. If that one, when you got born again, you should have died instantly and just go to heaven. So here they were faced, and what did Moses tell them? He says, stand still. This is rest. Someone say rest. He says, stand still. So it is not a state of inactivity. Mm-mm. It is a meditative posture of realigning your words with your thoughts and your belief. Stand still and see what? The salvation. Now the word salvation here, the interesting thing is this is written in Hebrew. This Hebrew here is Yeshua. And see the salvation of the Lord. Stand still. That means, boy, shift your gaze from the trouble. That's the first thing he's telling you. And focus on the possibility in Christ. See the possibility in Christ. Because, why? You are one with Christ. You are Christian. Listen, you are in Christ, the anointed one with his anointing. So he's telling you, shift your gaze from the troubles. That's what he's saying. And he says, for the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see them again no more forever. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Oh, whatever trouble it is you're facing right now, you will see them no more. Glory to God. That's what we're talking about. Look at another instance in 2 Chronicles 20. 2 Chronicles 20 verse 15. Look at what happened here. In this case, all right, which is just the same case like what we just read now. This was a hopeless situation. In verse 15, and he said, "Hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid." Did you see it? Always about don't be afraid. Go and check the scriptures. Every time God appears or angels appears, 90% of the time he always says, be not afraid. See, the moment you can get away from fear, somebody rightly says that there are 365 fear nots in scripture. That is because every day for one fear not. Praise God. Fear not. Oh, somebody say fear not. He says, and he said, "Hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitant of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus said the Lord unto you, be ye not afraid, nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but what?" So when you are faced with troubles, the first thing that must come to your mind, because the first thing is you always want to start thinking, okay, who do I call? What do I do? He says, don't get into self-preoccupation. Rest. It's not by power. It's not by might. It's by the Spirit of the living God. He says, look, this battle is not yours. Don't get into self-preoccupation. Don't start looking into yourself. You know, a lot of people face life battles like boxers. They go back to their corners, getting some dose of energy, go back again and, you know, wield all the boxings they could. They get wiped, get beaten, come back again to the corners. He says, the battle is what? It's not yours. Go to verse 17. Then he tells us in verse 17, look at it. He says, ye shall not need to fight what? In this battle, set yourself. Do what again? Stand still. Somebody say rest. Rest and see what again? The salvation of the Lord with you. Oh. This is a practical application of the message of rest as contained in salvation, as you read in Hebrews 4 and Hebrews 3. Do you know why? Because you see, in this life, we'll face tribulations. There will always be challenges here and there that will want to confront your faith. But you don't run away from them. You must learn to apply this truth, this doctrinal truth. You must learn to apply them in every crevices of your life. In your finances, in your health, in your relationship, in every sphere of your life. These are simple principles in the Word of God. You want to get better in life, even maybe character formation, or listen, let me show you something. Open to John 15. Example, all right, how that even when it comes to you want productivity in your life, maybe you are trying to get rid of an addiction of some kind, or you want to be a better person, and all we all are in that school of getting better, true? All right. So, I mean, how do I stand still and yet see results? How do I stand still? Because you're teaching me to rest. Look at John 15. John 15. Are you in John 15? Please give it to me. John 15. Glory to God forevermore. John 15 and verse 1. Look at what it says. John 15 and verse 1. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Then number 2, he says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Oh, I can preach several hours on that scripture alone. He says, every fruit that beareth forth fruit, he purgeth. That means he prunes it. It's a terminology in agriculture. Like you see palm tree. I don't know if you notice that palm tree, the stem is always rough. Do you know why? Because all the vegetative growth, they keep cutting it. Because they are trying to concentrate the nutrients from the soil into production of kernels. You know, in plants, there are two major growths that occurs. There is vegetative growth and there is reproductive growth. So what they do is, the nutrients coming from the soil, the vegetative growth are the leaves and all that. So they don't want the leaves that much. So they keep cutting it. They are pruning it so that the nutrients will concentrate on producing the kernel that they needed. That's what you call purgate, prune. But that's not where I'm going. In verse 3, it says, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abides in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. Oh boy. This answers the question of, okay, pastor, you see, you're talking about rest. Okay, I want to get better. in character, in my spiritual walk, even in my daily activity, in my finances. How do I rest? This is a very perfect example to look into. Thank God we all did basic biology in secondary school. If Jesus says he is the vine, he's talking metaphorically here. Vine there means stem. And we are the branches. Maybe you want to get rid of a bad habit. Maybe you want to get rid of something that you know always notice about yourself. How do you work it out? It's simple. When you see a tree, the tree is not fixated or worried about shedding the dry leaves. It's not bothered about getting rid of toxins in its body. All that the tree needs is to keep feeding on the nutrients in the soil, getting watered. Come on, talk to me. In due season, it will produce the right fruits. And if it has been diseased one way or the other, maybe the leaves are dried. In due season, all the leaves will be shed off. Come on. And new leaves will bud. All that tree and all the branch needs, because the branch is the fruit-bearing part. Come on. All that the branch needs is to abide in the stem. If it abides in the stem, getting the right nutrients, the sap, because the same sap that flows from the roots, that flows in the xylem, you know, sclerenchyma, parenchyma, and wood. Xylem, these are phytochemical words that we use, you know, in phytochemistry to refer to tissues. All right. I hope there are some people who are doing anybody here in biology, something, you know what I'm talking about, right? Okay, so the same sap, all right, that flows in the stem, flows in the branches. So that sap is like the blood in you that transports all the nutrients. So all that the branches need is to abide. That's why he says, abide in me. You just keep feeding. You see, a lot of people focus on the trouble they want to get rid of. And they never get rid of that trouble. Focus on Christ. Is that not what he's saying? Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. If you focus on Christ and you keep feeding, a time will come, you will even lose taste. You will forget that you have some addiction you need to get rid of. Come on, talk to me.
Yes, sir.
Because you see, naturally, all right, as you keep feeding, the dried leaf will fall off. And in due season, new leaves will bud. Oh, glory to God forevermore. So fruiting, therefore, becomes stressless. Because, listen, you are not the one producing the fruits, even though you just bear the fruits. You don't produce the fruit, you bear the fruit. The only work that is required of you is to rest. Faith. That's why you cannot jettison the importance of the teachings of faith. Christianity is summed up in two things, faith and love. Which many have swerved away from into vain janglings. Because this is the summary of the whole commandment. Love without hypocrisy and faith unfeigned. You just stick to the word. Keep feeding on the word. Keep listening to what God's Spirit is saying. There are those that will say that faith thing is stupid. Well, like Copeland will say, they've been blinded. Well, they've been deceived. But keep listening to the things God's word is saying. Just smile and tell them, my God has made the way for me. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. You stick to the word. You keep looking into the word. You keep fixing your gaze on the word. You keep talking on the word. You keep trusting in the word. You keep your faith deep rooted in the word. This faith thing is a profession. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. It's a profession. It's a job.
Yes,
we live by faith. That means we don't retire on it. On a daily basis, we keep at it. Yes, you keep the profession of your faith until Jesus comes. Yes, are you listening to me? Yes, you keep drawing from Him every day because you are the branch. You draw every day. You lift your hands in the morning. You see, you pace the floor with your confession. Write your confessions out. You know, when I traveled down south recently, I came in with all the books of my wife. And I get a hold of one of her journals. I see the dangerous confession she wrote since 2017 about her husband. I say, no wonder. I can't even look. My husband locates me. There is a supernatural connection. He is head on. He cannot stand. I say, what kind of wicked confession is this? No wonder I had all positive possibilities around that looks like it, but I kept going for this babe. Because you see, everybody, listen, creation, nature, they will dance at the frequency of your faith. Even Jesus will dance at the frequency of your faith. Come on now, the woman with the issue of blood. Was Jesus going to that woman to heal her that day? Jesus was going, jeje, but the woman said within herself, if I may touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. Was Jesus planning to heal her? No. But was she healed? Come on, talk to me. Was she healed? She changed the service that day to a healing meeting. Her faith did it. And look at what Jesus said. Woman, thy faith has made you whole. Faith is something you don't joke with. It's a message that we keep preaching in this church. Whether I go for missionary work, all our pastors know, it's faith. Whatever we preach, it must minister faith, not questions. Did you hear what I said? Because faith is the victory. Glory to God forevermore. Keep staying on the word. Stick to the word. Oh, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Stick to the word. Don't stop. Don't you ever retire from the word. Look at Philippians 1. Philippians 1 and verse 10. So that you can see what I'm talking about. You don't bear the fruit. Do you know what Jesus said? Jesus said the kingdom of God is like unto a man that plants the seed and then he goes to sleep. Oh, I think I'll talk about that next week. Have you ever seen a man who plants the seed? Huh? And then tomorrow he comes to open it. He never grew. He covers it again. The next day again he comes. It never grow. It come back again. Will it ever grow? He says the kingdom of God is like unto a man that sows a seed and it goes to sleep. Because there is a system that says when seed goes into the soil, it will produce. It is called sowing and reaping. So he trusts in that system. That was that divine principle that has no respect for age, has no respect for personality. If a 6-year-old boy picks a corn of wheat, drops in the soil, 90-year-old man takes a seed, drops in the soil. 4 or 5 days when they come, both of them, the one that the 6-year-old dropped in the soil, will he say, no, it was a small boy that sowed it? Will he bored or not? Has no respect for age. You just get the principle. This is the principle of rest. In every day of your life, rest. Rest. I think the time God works more is when we are sleeping. Rest. And we're not talking about inactivity. We're not preaching. We're not saying you should be lazy. Don't mistake rest for laziness. I told you, the position of rest is a state of active posture of positioning yourself, bringing your meditative heart in alignment with your speech, there's a calibration in your mind that brings endless possibilities to you. And there is energy in your spirit to gear you into carrying out what the Spirit says per time. So you keep listening to what the Lord is saying, and then you act on it. The miracle is in the action. That our rest produces the result. T.D. Jakes was saying he's been pastoring for years, and all he was in is just 300 membership. Until he preached one message, "Woman, thou art loosed." The whole place was packed out. They packed out the main bowl of auditorium. They just start saying, that's why you see people who go about envying people's harvest, they are the real witches and wizards. Because you don't know how they've been sowing. And you too, don't be jealous of people's harvest and begin to throw away your own seed. Don't look down on your own seed because of someone else's harvest. Keep sowing. Keep sowing. Wake up in the morning, sow. Excuse me, what does it cost? She's been at this same mouth. Just wake up. Didn't you see what happened in Genesis? He was just talking. Then in the last verse, the Bible says, and he saw all that he has been saying. Very simple principle. We are not saying you should nothing, just talk. Try it, you know it is hard. Keep at it. Keep at it. That is how to produce in rest. Look at Ephesians, Philippians 1 verse 10. That ye may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense to the day of Christ. What's the last word there? Talk to me. Say it louder. Christ. Verse 11, what is Christ doing now? Christ being filled with the fruit of righteousness, which are by whom? Jesus. Who produces the fruit? You don't produce fruit. You bear the fruit. Rest. Focus on the word. On Christ. Keep taking root downward. You automatically bear fruit upward. This is how to practically let this message of rest, of salvation, flow into every crevices of your life. Some ladies, they are so fixated on, I want to marry, and they keep falling to the wrong guy. Because do you know what? You are at your highest stage of vulnerability when you are not at rest. See, that's why Apostle Paul, for example, he says, for they that will be rich in this world, they fall into many sorrows. They pierce them souls with many sorrows. Have you noticed that in my 11 years of pastoring, people who always fall into the hand of 419, they are very greedy. Somebody comes to tell you, you turn, you bring 500. You too, which business can you do that will make you deposit 10,000? Then the next day they will tell you to come and collect 50,000. It's because you were greedy. So they are feeding your greed. Are you following what I'm saying? The same thing applies. Look, the Bible says, he that believeth does not what? Does not make haste. For they that have believed, they have what? They have entered into his rest. Let's read that Philippians 1 together. Let's look at it together so that you can get what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Can we read Philippians 1:11 together? 3, 2, go. Come on. Give me Isaiah 28 verse 16. Isaiah 28 verse 16. Oh, glory to God forevermore. Are you learning something at all? He says, therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone. Hallelujah. A precious cornerstone. A sure foundation. He that what? Shall what? Once you are in haste, you are not in faith. Faith is rest. Have you ever seen anybody who is in rest and is dilly-dallying up and down? Huh? Restlessness. Rest is not restlessness. I hope you know they are not the same thing. Oh, somebody say rest. When I came back and I saw this was what Pastor Sandra was teaching, I loved the topic. Rest. Let me give you personal private. I've realized that some of the big things I've done in my life, you know, at every stage of your life, you can look behind and say, man, God really helped me in this. So, wow. You know, I've noticed that most of the great things that I accrue to as great things at that level, they all happened in the position of rest. Rest. Oh, glory to God. There are some things, most of the things that you're so worried about, if you just take it to the Lord in prayer and rest, and keep listening to what God's Spirit, because let me give you a shock. Maybe I'll talk about that next week. Prayer changes things. But many times, it is not the prayer itself that changes things. It is the instruction you get in the prayer, the light that God shines on your heart in the place of prayer, that becomes a day star in your heart, that you carry about to act upon, that brings the change. That's why somebody who receives a revelation and does nothing about it is not any better than somebody who didn't get no revelation but just keep doing. You will hit it someday. And that's the advantage you have. Praise God forevermore. I said, praise God forevermore. Stay in this faith thing. It works. Faith always works. Don't you ever let devil question your faith walk. Did you hear what I said? Stand in it. Somebody said, what if it doesn't work? Mm-mm. Stop saying what if, what if. There is no what if in the faith walk. It's a rest walk. It's a walk of rest. They that have believed have entered into his rest. As it is in your salvation, let it filter into your finances. Let it filter into your health. Of course, you know, you won't be eating all the jargons, all the things people are eating in the world anyhow, all right? I saw a recent video about Indomie. Anyway, the last time I ate Indomie was 2019. Never. And you see people eating it, and we are feeding our children. My children will never taste Indomie. They will not know what is Indomie in their life. They did a survey on where people live. There are four major places in the world. They call it blue zones on the map, on the globe. Blue zones. One of those places I could remember, there's a place in California. There's a place in Japan. Average lifespan there is 84.5 years. Average. You know the meaning of average in mathematics? You study statistics? People live over 100 and strong. They eat tofu, mushroom, fresh vegetable. But you, shawarma, processed meat, bacon. Don't you ask yourself questions? Why would you buy bread and the bread will stay 6 days and it is still fresh? Common sense should tell you that there are some preservative they've put there that made it relevant. All those biscuits you eat, you see colorful biscuits, all those things, you see the way they are fine. The way biscuit is made, it shouldn't last more than 3 days. Some biscuits, 1 month, they are still there in the nylon. Don't you know that there are chemicals that were used to preserve them? So you know you do all those basic things. You feed well, you do exercise, don't live a solitary lifestyle.
And I think I'm guilty of that one, where you sit on one place for so long. Don't do solitary lifestyle. Do exercise. Drink a lot of water. But guess what? The word of God on your lips. Do you understand what I'm saying? So you don't break natural laws, but concerning your health, you are resting. While you are doing all the natural things, you are still resting. Come on. On two occasions, they almost arrested Joseph Prince at the border of a particular country. They said, "You did you tell us this is your age?" It's a lie. On his passport, they said, no, this is not your age. He said, "This is my age. I'm not Joseph Prince." They said, no. He said, "This is my age." They didn't believe because he looks way younger. And he says, "I take my confession, I do all that, but my faith is in the word." Praise God. The same thing with your academics. Did you notice that all those people who, at the very last minute of entering into exam hall, they are still holding their book like this? When the result is out, they fail. But the simple principle of education that says, let me tell you, the simple principle of education that says, after every class, go back to what you learned, read it, so that the next class, you are already in the flow with your lecturer. So that when it's time for exam, there's something we call, there's something about your brain. There's long-term storage and short-term storage. So that if you are flowing with your lecturer, when exam time comes, it will be true revision indeed. What people do during exam is crash reading. So they cram, they enter all, they forget one thing, they forget everything. So they will say it's village people. It's not village people. They say, "I don't know, Pastor, everything just wiped away." So you do the normal things, but you are still resting. So resting is not laziness. Oh, glory to God. How about your finances? Same thing. What can you do? Okay, you can make hair. All right, fine. Get better at it. All right? Do all the natural things. Can anybody see you? Have you tried to register on Google so that when somebody, some people when they register, somebody can just say, hairdresser close by. And then Google brings. You know, you can search. If you are in Kefina, if you search our church, thank God for me. If you search our church now, right cornerstone on Google, it will show you religious center in Kefi. Maybe somebody comes now around and he says, I need to pass Sunday here. Which church can I go? Okay, let me just type church close by in Kefi. He will bring it out. Do you get what I'm saying? So you do all the natural things necessary, but you are resting. Oh, glory to God. And in some places, you will volunteer just to be visible with what you can do. And then, I'll do a teaching one day again. I did it in 2019. I did a seminar. I call it Quantum Leap Seminar. There is a phenomenon in physics that they call quantum leap in quantum physics, where a particular electron leaves its original shell to a higher energy shell. That's what we call breakthrough. Abi now. We can make it happen. There are principles to put in place that will make you always have that breakthrough. Are you listening to me? One of them is what Jesus told us in the book of Matthew. Oh, time is fast spent. He calls it the principle of second mile. If a man gives you a slap, turn the other cheek. If a man goes 1 mile with you, go with him a second mile. In other words, always do something extra above your contemporary that gives you a hedge. These are principles. What is my teaching for today? You can be doing all these things now. You are resting. No stress. No toil. The blessing of the Lord. It makes rich. It adds no sorrow. I close. You know, my younger brother is about to get married. So He's been waiting for me all this way, all this while anyway. So everything is together. So I asked him, the wife is a police officer. I said, come. This one, no, they go. He said, oh. She's working in admin. I say, eh? He said, police is the easiest job. I said, tell me something. He said, she's just for her salary. She goes to work only 3 times in a week. She's in admin. She doesn't wear uniform. She just goes there, sit down, call this thing, then go back home. Eh? I said, how about those people on the roadside? He said, pa, all those ones that are looking for a gunje, that's why they are old. Do you see, they never get better? Because now money, they don't swear. You know, some of them, they swear. That's why they don't do anything in life with it. She's just resting. All the holidays is for her. She's an admin. The blessing of the Lord. No toils. No cutting corners. Just resting. I say just resting. You just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And then when it is giving, in finances too, all right, you give. Support the work of God, all right? You give. And you get to a place where you notice your 10% is no longer significant. You move up. Amen. All right? You move up. You can move to 15. From there, you move to 20. Until God keep blessing you. You get to a point, let me tell you, this thing is a faith walk. You get to a point where giving becomes natural for life.
We know that you've been blessed. For further inquiries, to get more messages, and for counseling, please visit our website www.cornerstoneglobal.org or call the number +234 91 60 84 88 80. God bless you. We love and celebrate you.